Getting a peace deal in the Middle East is such a priority to President Obama that his first foreign calls on his first day in office were to Arab and Israeli leaders. And on day two, the president made former Senator George Mitchell his special envoy for Middle East peace. Mr. Obama wants to shore up the ceasefire in Gaza, but a lasting peace really depends on the West Bank, where Palestinians had hoped to create their state. The problem is, even before Israel invaded Gaza, a growing number of Israelis and Palestinians had concluded that peace between them was no longer possible, that history had passed it by. For peace to have a chance, Israel would have to withdraw from the West Bank, which would then become the Palestinian state. It's known as the two-state solution. But while negotiations have been going on for 15 years, hundreds of thousands of Jewish settlers have moved in to occupy the West Bank. Palestinians say they can't have a state with Israeli settlers all over it, which the settlers say is precisely the idea. Daniela Weiss moved from Israel to the West Bank 33 years ago. She's been a mayor of a large settlement.
I think that settlements prevent the establishment of a Palestinian state in the land of Israel. This is the goal and this is the reality.
Though settlers and Palestinians don't agree on anything, most do agree now that a peace deal has been overtaken by events. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti is a former candidate for Palestinian president.
While my heart still wants to believe that the two-state solution is possible, my brain keeps telling me the opposite because of what I see in terms of the building of settlements. So in a way, these settlers are destroying the potential peace for both people that would have been created if we had two-state solution.
Andy told us Israel's invasion of Gaza, all the death and destruction, convinces him that Israel does not want a two-state solution.
I am very worried that what Israel has done has furthered us much further from the possibility of two-state solution.
Palestinians had hoped to establish their state here on the West Bank, an area the size of Delaware. But Israelis have sliced it up with scores of settlements and hundreds of miles of new highways that only settlers can use. Palestinians have to drive or ride on the older roads. When they want to travel from one town to another, they have to submit to humiliating delays at checkpoints and roadblocks. There are more than 600 of them on the West Bank. Why do the Israelis have so many checkpoints?
I think the main goal is to fragment the West Bank. Maybe a little bit of them can be justified because they say it's for security, but I think the vast majority of them are basically to block the movement of people from one place to another.
Here's how they block Dr. Barghouti. He was born in Jerusalem, grew up in Jerusalem, and worked in a hospital there for 14 years. 4 years ago, he moved to a town just 10 miles away. But now, because he no longer lives in Jerusalem, he can't get back in, ever.
Now, 1 minute. You cannot go to Jerusalem?
At all.
Can't you get a permit to go?
I asked for a permit to go to Jerusalem during the last year, the last 2 years, about 16 times. And 16 times they were rejected. Like most Palestinians, I don't have a permit to go to the city I was born in, to the city I used to work in, to the city where my sister lives.
Here's what he's up against. Scores of Israeli settlements dominating the lowlands like crusader fortresses. Many are little cities, and none of them existed 40 years ago. The Israelis always take the high ground, sometimes the hills, sometimes the homes, and sometimes Arabs are occupied inside their own homes. This house, for example, the highest house on the highest hill overlooking the town of Nablus. We learned that Israeli soldiers often corral the four families who live here and take over the house to monitor movement down below.
We're going into an apartment owned by Mr. Nassif here in Nablus. We understand that Israeli soldiers came in this morning and, without any notice, without any invitation, came into the apartment and have been there ever since.
We cannot speak with you. There is a soldier.
The soldiers?
Yes.
What are they doing here?
We are prison here.
What's happening?
They are keeping here, and the soldiers are upstairs. We cannot move. We cannot speak with you.
You can't leave the house?
No.
They told you that?
Yes. I can't breathe.
How long are they going to stay?
I don't know.
Are they paying you any money?
You are kidding.
I'm kidding. Abdel Nassif, the bank manager, said he had to get to his bank to open the safe, but that soldiers won't let him go. He told us when the soldiers come, they wake everybody up and herd them into a kitchen for hours while soldiers sleep in their bedrooms. They can't leave or use the phone or let us in. He sent us downstairs to see if his brother would open the door so we could ask the soldiers why they keep taking over this house.
You want to come?
Yes. Just open the door and then...
Because the soldiers closed the door from the keys. They take the keys.
So we left, and that night, so did the soldiers. But when we returned 2 days later, the soldiers were back for more surveillance. This time, they kept the women under house arrest, but let the men go to work and the children go to school. When the children returned, we caught a glimpse of two armed soldiers at the top of the stairs. Then more children came home, but the soldiers wouldn't open the door again.
They say if you don't go back behind the wall, the children will not enter the house.
But this is where the children live.
Yeah, but you need to go away from the door so I can let the children come in, okay?
Who are you?
He's a commander here.
He's a commander here?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we talk to you?
No.
Well, we're talking to you now. Why don't you tell us what you're doing here? Have you lost your voice?
Well, they've closed the door now. They've closed the window. So I guess if the children are going to get home, we have to leave. So that's what we'll do. An army spokesman told us the soldiers used the Nassif's house for important surveillance operations. The Nassif's told us the soldiers usually stay for a day or two, always coming and going in the middle of the night. When they do go, the Nassif's never know when they'll be occupied again. It could be tomorrow, next week, or next month. The only certainty, they say, is that the soldiers will be back. Another crippling reality on the West Bank is high unemployment, now